saved by Christ, and that he is our advocate and our propitiation, and that means that he's basically like representing us as holy and pure, even though we aren't. And so it's a huge blessing to have that from Christ. So, are you guys, if you're there, say, got it. 1 John 2. 2. Wait, 3 John or 1 John? 1 John 2. I even repeated it. You got it? If you got it, say, got it. Okay, that's pretty close. Okay, let's all stand so that we can honor the word of God. Stand with me. Okay. Now by this we know that... By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you are so great and so greatly to be praised. You're so worthy of our focus and our attention and our love, Lord. So we ask that we would, in this time, that we would get to know you more, Lord, that our hearts would be set on you, that we wouldn't be distracted, and that you would be our main focus and our main desire in this time. I ask that you would fill me with your spirit, fill all of us with your spirit to grow in you and learn from you now. And we pray all of this in your name. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Have a seat. All right. So today, our focus is going to be the true love life. That's what we're talking about, true love. Romeo and Juliet, the truest of all loves, right? Love, yeah, once upon a time. Love is something that people, most people, will spend their whole lives either looking for it, or once they find it, they'll spend the rest of their lives developing it. Many people believe that besides accepting God into your life, that the decision to love someone and to marry them for your rest of your life is the biggest decision you will ever make. In fact, there's not a lot that people won't do for love. It's crazy. It makes people like transform everything. They'll change where they live. They'll change what they want to do. They'll change their future plans. They'll change what they liked, what they don't like. They'll change where they like to eat and where they didn't like to eat. And they'll change so much. It's crazy. Love is transforming, it's powerful, and it's crazy. So a recent video was made, and it asked people from the age of 2 all the way to 105. Yes, they got a 105-year-old. It's crazy. It's a really cool video. And what they asked them was, what does love mean to you? And they got some really interesting answers. A 14-year-old said, it's complicated. A 5-year-old girl said, it means you love somebody. She's got it figured out. A 34-year-old said, love means never having to say you're sorry. But I don't believe that at all, because I feel like you have to say sorry a lot. A 55-year-old man said, speaking of his wife, I try to help her be her best self, and she tries to help me. And to me, that's love. A 35-year-old man said, it's the greatest marketing campaign ever invented. That's crazy. It's pretty true, but that's an interesting view of love. Love for me, a 29-year-old said, is being 100% vulnerable and all the way in. A 17-year-old guy said, it's a big old kiss on your mouth, and you're not against it at all. And a 65-year-old woman said, love is freedom, because you're free to feel so many feelings so deeply. And a 2-year-old girl giggled. She was just like, and she didn't say anything about it. I don't know, maybe she... The 105-year-old said, he was like this.
Jimmy, love is everything. I love my kids, my grandkids' kids, my grandkids' kids' kids. Love is everything.
That was what he said. And I didn't really think that was as interesting as all the other ones. It was just cool that he was so old. But I also want to hear from you guys. So what are some things that you think love is? It can be crazy things, or it can be realistic things. Or what do you see people in our culture, either in like pop songs, or people at school, or what your parents show as love? What are some things that you see as love? You can just shout it out.
Food.
Love food. Everybody loves food, right? Or they hate certain types of food and love other types of food. What else? Food is good. Especially with Instagram, everybody's posting their food. It's like they love to see it more than they love to eat it. God, love God, the love of God. Wait, God is love, or we love God?
Both.
Both. Whoa, okay, covered it. Okay, what else? Maybe pets?
Nature.
People love nature, like a nature walk, being one with nature, the Buddhist. Nolan's giggle?
No.
Yes?
Nolan's giggle. He's a 2-year-old. Said Buddhist on accident.
She said what?
Buddhist.
Like a Buddhist? That is pretty rough. That's pretty funny, actually. What else? Anything else about love? It's crazy. Huh? Your coffee's hot. He probably doesn't love... Yes?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's interesting. So like the sun in the galaxy, right? So the sun is love, because without the presence of the sun, one, our solar system would probably collapse in space. Yeah, that's a good point. And we'd freeze, or if we were even closer to it, we'd die. That's crazy to think. What else? Yes?
Baseball.
Football, Super Bowl, everybody loves...
Air hockey.
Air hockey. Do you love air hockey, or does just everybody?
Regular hockey.
Regular hockey?
Yeah.
What about, like, I just had a really good one for what love is.
Not school.
Not school. Not school is love, so spring break. When does spring break start?
Yes.
Love animals, yes, that's a good one. Your bed, love your bed, love to sleep, love to rest. This is all really good. Okay, one more. Huh? Gambling?
Family!
Family! Oh, okay, I was thinking you had a gambling issue.
People like
Yeah, they love it for sure, right? Okay, last one, Johnny. You love yourself. That is good. That's a good point. Everybody loves themselves to their core, right? Okay, so recently, in like the last 20 years, so not that recent because none of us are 20 in here, but recently, a psychologist did an experiment to see how easy it is to fall in love. So what he did was he took two complete strangers, a man and a woman, and he put them in a lab. And for psychologists, code for lab is like a really fancy room with nice couches and good carpet and like brown walls so it keeps people calm. And what they had to do was they would ask each other 36 questions that each got progressively more deeper, personal, and like vulnerable as they went. And then after answering the 36 questions, they would look into each other's eyes for 4 minutes without saying a word. And surprisingly, in this experiment, most of the people, even though they had no history with each other, fell in love. Yeah, it is pretty weird. It's crazy. And the whole point was to show how easy it is to fall in love. A woman named Mandy Lynn Catron, she recently gave a little TED Talks on this, because she did the experiment with a stranger, and they fell in love, and they got into a relationship. And so everybody, after they heard this, they were like, are you guys still together? Do you love each other? Does it work? Is it perfect? And her whole point in the TED Talks was that though falling in love is so easy, like it can happen with anyone if you say the right things and do the right things, maintaining love and keeping a lasting relationship and living in love with someone is so difficult. And it doesn't just happen naturally. And so that's what we're going to look at today. Because all throughout Scripture, the Bible talks about a relationship of love with God. Whether it's God loving us as we're His children, because He's our Father, or whether it's God being our best friend and loving Him as a friend, or whether it's God being our groom and us His bride and loving Him as we would love a spouse, and commitment and promise and intimacy and all of vulnerability that is equipped with that. So today, our three main points, what we're going to focus on is what it looks like to know God, and then two, what it looks like to love God, and then three, what it looks like to love others. So our first point, what it means to know God. Verse 3 and 4 says, now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We cannot address loving God until we first look at knowing Him. Just like in any relationship, whether you're friends or whether it's a romantic relationship, you cannot start loving that person until you know him, right? Imagine in the future when you guys start dating, courting, or whatever else you decide to do. Cuties, right? But imagine if something changes and you might like a guy or you might like a girl. And imagine trying to maintain romance if you don't know the person. It's impossible. So the first steps in any relationship, a friendship, is basic things. What's your name? What do you like to do? Where do you like to go? And then you start to hang out with them and say, oh, whoa, she doesn't like hanging out in the sun because it gets hot. So let's hang out in air-conditioned rooms. Oh, he doesn't like Chinese food, so we can't go to Panda Express, but we can go to In-N-Out all day, every day. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's something you have to find out, because sometimes people aren't like, hello, my name is Isaac, I do not like Panda Express, but I do like In-N-Out, and if you want to hang out and have fun, we should go somewhere that it's air-conditioned, and don't take me somewhere that's hot. And I really like playing on trampolines, but I do not like skydiving, so don't do that. But those are things that you have to experience with the person and get to know. And then you'll start loving that person as a friend or as a romantic by doing the things they like and not doing the things they don't like with them together. And you get to love each other and serve each other as friends or in a romantic relationship. So what is this talking about with God? The word that it's using is gnosko, and that means to have relational knowledge. So it's not saying to know of God. We can read the Bible 300 times and know of God. We can know His origins are infinite. We can know that He is perfect. We can know that He is kind. We can know that He is bigger than us. We can know that He is personal. But until we get to experience relational knowledge and growing with Him, then we cannot love Him. So, what are some ways that we can get to know God in relationship? Well, first thing is read the Bible. You got to read the Bible because you got to know what He's like, what He acts like, what He's done in the past, and what He'll be faithful to do in the future. And so staying in your Word and reading it every day so that the Word can change you and that your understanding of God can grow and change. Another important way to get to know God is to pray. And oftentimes as we pray, people have described it as like calling God up. Say every morning you call God up and you leave your phone on speakerphone. So all throughout the day, and imagine you have like an infinite battery, because if my phone did that, it would be dead at like 10 o'clock. But all throughout the day, your phone is on speakerphone, and God is there listening to what you're saying. And if you come to a confusing time, you don't even need to pick up the phone. You just go, hey, Lord, what should I do here? Hey, Lord, how do you feel about this? Hey, Lord, I want to act like you. Hey, Lord, I want to do what is gracious, what is kind. Give me the strength to do that. And he will be faithful to show you things about himself, and his spirit will lead you to new things that you didn't do before and show you strange things that you would have never thought you knew. And you'd have answers to things that you never knew, and you'd have questions about things that you never even thought you would ask, and God will reveal himself to you. Another really important way to get to know God is fellowship. What you're doing right now, hanging out with other Christians and being real with each other. Like, we don't need a facade. We don't need to say, hey, I have life figured out, that's perfect. We need to come together and grow together. We need to be honest. Hey, I'm having a hard time here, but God's really good here. And then we can say, oh, I had a hard time there, and here's what I learned. But now that you're learning that, I have so much to learn from you. And then we sharpen each other and we grow together, and it's perfect, and it's what God designed for us. And so we have the Bible, prayer, fellowship, and the final thing that's really important is worship. And I don't just mean like we do every Sunday and Wednesday in song, singing worship to God, or like you can on Caleb. I know you guys are like driving down the streets with your parents and you're like, yeah, singing. No, you're not. But though that's really important because you'll get to know God through things that people wrote about him in song, what's most important is living a life that gives God glory. So when you're doing daily things like eating food, hanging out with friends, studying for homework, studying for a test, reading for homework, saying, Lord, what can I do to glorify you? What can I do to better understand you? And then you'll start worshiping him in things that you would have never thought you could. You'll start worshiping him at school, not out loud, but just in your actions, giving him glory and praise and honor. And doing that in every aspect of your life, you will get to know him and understand him more. So that's what it means to know God. We need to be in the Word. We need to be praying often, in fellowship, and worship. And so our second point, once we've mastered that and gotten to know God and opened a relationship with him, then we can start to love God. So let's look at our second point, what it means to love God. In the Greek, ancient Greek, there's four different types of love. There's phileo, like phileo fish, just kidding. Storge, I don't know if I said that right. It kind of looks like storage, but storge. Eros, and agape. Phileo love is like a responsive love. So imagine someone walks up, you're at the candy stand, and they say, hey, I have $2. You can pick any four candy bars that you want, and you don't even have to worry about paying me back. You would like that person because they just gave you free candy. And so because of that, that's a responsive love. Usually you don't have phileo for the people who see that you have candy, and then they take it from you and like hit you on their way out. That gives you no reason to like them, and so you don't. Storge is like a natural obligated love. This is the love that a mother has for her child. This is the love that a father has for his son. This is the love that I have for my new puppy. Just kidding, but I kind of do. It's pretty obligated. And this is also a type of love that will be experienced in marriage because you have the covenant that you made on your wedding day and you are committing to that, and so you're bound by that. And so it's an obligated love to an extent, though you do enjoy it. And then there's eros. That is a love that is passionate, intimate, and vulnerable, only experienced in marriage. And what's interesting about this love is it's sort of a selfish love because you're saying, I like the way you make me feel, so I love you. And I like the feelings and the emotions and the vulnerability that we're able to experience together, and so I love you because of that. And then the final love is agape. Does anybody know what agape love is? Yes. Basically, yeah, agape love is like an unending, unconditional love that goes past everything. So it doesn't matter if someone's mean to you. It doesn't matter if you're obligated or not obligated. It doesn't matter if they're family. It doesn't matter if you're married, and it doesn't matter how good they make you feel. No matter what, you extend love, agape love, to this person. And this is the love that we're called to have for God. No matter if we feel good or don't feel good, we should have this love for God. It should be unconditional and always growing. So, have you ever noticed how when people are really close friends, or you can see this in married couples as well, they start to kind of act like each other, or they'll even start to kind of look like each other. They'll start to smile the same, they'll laugh at the same jokes, they'll tell the same jokes, like you can be talking to one friend and he'll tell you a joke, and then his other best friend and he tells you the same joke and you're like, come on guys, you're crazy. But it's true, like as people grow together and spend time together and laugh together and have fun together, they start to become like each other, and they act like each other. They like the same things. They want to do the same things, even if they didn't like it before, because they like doing it with that person. And that's the way our love with God should be. Look in the verse. It's telling us to walk as He walked. So what does that mean, to walk? Basically, it means to act like or to conduct yourself. So what we should do is we should look at the life of Jesus, the way He lived, the way He acted, what He did, what He didn't do, and we should try to be like that. We should want to be like that. Once we begin to take the time and the effort to know Him, like we talked about in the study of Word and this prayer, fellowship, worship, then we will start to love Him. It will be a natural response, and it will start to penetrate every aspect of our lives. But though it is natural and often really it's going to flow out of your life, sometimes it won't be as easy. Sometimes it'll be difficult, sometimes you won't want to show love to Him, and sometimes you will just want to stay in your comfort bubble, your little comfort zone. You know what I'm talking about? And this is where the unconditional aspect comes in, where we say, no matter how I feel, Lord, no matter how hard it is that You're telling me to do, or how easy it is, or how big or how small it is, how impactful it is, I will do it, even if I don't want to, because I love You and because I want to be more like You. So this should begin to penetrate every aspect of our life, with our parents, the way we obey them, like when they ask us to go scoop the dog's doo-doo, the doggy doo. I don't know, everybody calls it something different. The landmines outside, when we have to go confiscate the landmines. That's like the worst job at home. And you just gotta do it because your parents told you. But if you have that love of God, it can transform that. If you're unloading the dishwasher, who likes to unload the dishwasher? No. Really?
I do without being asked, but
I don't like doing it because it's kind of like you're just going back and forth. You grab cups and then you go to the cupboards. And then you grab forks and then you go to the dip. And then you go back and then you go to. And then, like, doing dishes, too. It's like you're just washing, wiping. But it can be a good time to think. But still, it's like, eh. But when your parents ask you to do things and encourage you in things, it might transform the way you interact in that. And the way we treat our siblings, if we're loving to them and kind to them, when they annoy us even, it'll change that. And the way we handle school, the way we interact with people at school, our teachers, and the way we handle studying and tests, the way we put effort into that, will all be transformed by the love of God that is perfected in us. And that light of God will begin to shine through everywhere in our lives, and people will notice it, and it'll make impacts in them. And that brings us to our last point. We looked at what it means to know God, what it is to love God, and now what it means to love others. In verse 7, John, in 1 John chapter 2, he talks about a commandment. And he says this commandment's ancient, it's old, and it's a lot like curly hair. Because, hang with me here, it's a really good point. Because one, curly hair is awesome, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Two, curly hair has never gone out of style. From ancient Greece, the Greek statues of like Greek gods, what type of hair do they have? Yeah, they do not have straight hair. They have curly hair. And They have curly hair in ancient Greece, so way back in time. And then all throughout, like 1800s, curly hair was popular. 1900s, your parents probably in the 80s even got perms to make their hair curly. And they like grew really big mustaches. And that was just weird. And we're glad that they don't do that anymore, because that's pretty rough. But light curly hair, this commandment of love, never went out of style. John is saying, this commandment, it's ancient. You guys were raised with the golden rule, right? What's the golden rule? Yeah, treat others as you want to be treated. Everybody teaches that, Christian or not. Everybody wants you to treat others with love. But though it's old, it's still fresh. John's like, it's ancient, but it's not dusty. It's old school, but it's not rusty. It's so fresh. And that's what he wants us to embrace, is that love that we've been encouraged in our whole lives, that the Bible has talked about from chapter 1 all the way to Revelation chapter 22. That's the love that he's talking about. It's never old, it's always new, and always fresh. And it's so needed today, so powerful. It's crazy talking to people about, or just like interacting with people. If I'm focused on them and I seem genuinely interested in what they're talking about, it stands out. It's crazy. People don't expect us to care about what they're talking about. They don't expect us to be interested and focused. They expect us more to be like, hey, how's it going? Oh, yeah, really? Yeah, I saw that too. It was a really good movie. Yeah, that's what they expect from us because we're so focused on... Yeah, we're so boring. Our culture is so boring. It wants to always be focused on the next thing, and we won't take time to interact with the people and care for the people right in front of us. And this love, it makes such an impact in our culture today. When we show people that we shouldn't care about because maybe they haven't been like phileo, so they haven't been kind to us, but we still care about them, despite them not deserving it. And this unconditional love, it's so rare in our culture, but everybody wants it. And when everybody gets it, they're thankful and they're excited. But nobody really wants to show it. Everyone wants it, but they don't want to show it. And it's appreciated by everyone. And so we as Christians are called to love our brothers. And that means to love everyone. To love each person we walk by, we see, that is mean to us or nice to us, that is clean or dirty, nice or mean, to love them unconditionally. And so how do we do that? Because it's definitely way easier said than done to look at a complete stranger who you have no history with and to love them. And the first thing is to pray for them. And it's not because praying for them is going to transform them necessarily, but prayer has this power to transform you, to transform how you feel about them, how you view them, and how you care about them. So pray about them and pray for them first. And then a really practical thing is keep up with people. People don't expect it. When someone tells you, hey, I've been having a hard time in my math class. Are you guys in like algebra? Algebra, pre-algebra? Or no, because what's the new learning? Common Core. So it's like... it's like math combined, right? Combo math. Yeah, I don't... Yeah, so like everybody's having a hard time in... But everybody's having a hard time in math. We'll just say everybody is. But to keep up with that person who's having a hard time, say, hey, how'd your test go? Hey, I've been praying for you. Show them that you care and that you actually thought about them from the last time that you talked. And then if it's hard for you to love them, ask God to change your heart, because he will do that. He may not change them, and they may never change, but God can change your heart. And if you ask him to do that, he will be faithful to do it. And love isn't always easy. So another point is, don't be afraid to let love get a little messy. Don't think it's always going to be easy, that it's always going to be really comfortable, and that it won't be kind of awkward when you talk to someone like you actually care about them. Some people will be a little weirded out, because they're not used to being cared for. They're not used to being looked in the eyes and focused on. But you can do that and push through kind of that uncomfortable, unusual aspect of our culture and care about them and let it get a little awkward, because it'll get comfortable more once you break that boundary. And then be the servant of all, and be the brother or sister and friend to all. Care about all. Love all, help all, and serve all. It's crazy when we take the time to care about someone, and we don't need to care about them. It's not forceful, and sometimes it ruins our day because we're late for school, or we're late for class, or we missed a meal, and so then we're hangry the rest of the day.
Hangry.
Hangry.
That makes perfect sense.
Hangry. Yeah?
I tend to get a little...
Hangry? You're a hangry one? I don't get very hangry, but... When we serve others, it can put limits on what we get to do for ourselves, and it can make our days and our lives a little harder. But love is worth it, and people need to be loved, and they love to be loved, and cared for, and respected. And that's what, as Christians, that's what we're called to do, to take this love that God has given us, that we give to God, and then to let it penetrate into every relationship, every person we see, every way that we act around people, to have love and affection and honest respect pour out of that. So in conclusion, we've looked at what it means to know God, what it means to love God, and then what it means to love others. And these are all things that everybody needs to practice, and it's not easy. It's not easy to get to know God, because we actually have to make time for that, to study His Word, to pray, and to focus on that. It's not simple. And loving God isn't simple, because we have to do things that we didn't always do, and do things that we're not used to or not comfortable with. And loving others can be so difficult, because people aren't easy. People aren't always nice. And sometimes they don't want to let you love them, because they don't want to receive that grace, even though they need it so much. And so they'll put up walls and boundaries and get upset at you, but still love and still push through that. And as we close, if you will all look at verse 11, this will be our last verse. It says, "But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." It's easy to look at this verse and be like, hate is dark. Dark makes people not see, because in the dark you can't see very well. But it's saying way, way more than that. Like, I think we're all starting to get the idea that John is showing us that in the relationship and life of a Christian, there's not room for division. There's not room for hate. And there's not room for wickedness and darkness. And we need to realize how serious this is. Hate and wickedness doesn't only make it dark, but it weakens our ability to even determine what is right and what is wrong. Slowly, this hate and this darkness will cripple us, because we won't be able to determine what is right and what is wrong. We won't be able to make those wise and thoughtful decisions that can only come from God and from a life that is rid of hatred and focused on loving others and serving others. We can't just let hatred go on, because hatred separates us from God, and it separates us from being able to live the life that He truly wants us to live. So what can we do practically to get rid of hatred? I know I've said it a lot, but the most powerful thing is to pray for them. And it probably won't change them, but it will change your heart. You'll be able to love them and to care for them. And it'll be genuine, because it's not of yourself, but it's of God and it's from God. And if there's something between you guys, our culture has, like, forgotten that forgiveness and apologies are so necessary in everything. When you make mistakes, you need to apologize and you need to ask for forgiveness. And if someone does something wrong to you and they ask for, they apologize to you, we need to forgive them and extend grace in that way. The lack of forgiveness and apologies can put hindrances and weights on relationships for lifetimes. It's crazy. When people hold bitterness in their hearts and won't let it go, it can end relationships. So we need to address what is wrong and apologize for it and talk it through. Be honest, be gentle. You don't need to be harsh in this time, but you do need to seek forgiveness, and you do need to forgive if it has been sought. And then the best thing to do to someone that you have trouble liking, someone that is annoying or kind of gross or kind of dirty. When I was in like grade school, so elementary school, from like second to fourth grade, there was a kid in school. His name was Christian, but no one ever called him that because everybody called him Booger Boy. Because, yeah, it was really sad, but Christian was the type who, if he wasn't like using his hand, it was in his nose. Or it was like wiping what was in his nose on something in the room. And so Christian would be the type who, he'd be like right here, picking his nose, and then he'd be like, "Hello, how are you doing?" Like going in for the booger handshake. And yeah, it's really gross, but even Booger Boy needed love, you know, and we should never have identified him as Booger Boy. It's so mean. And he even started to embrace it. He started to like pick his nose and like rub it on the little felt things in class. It was pretty rough. But even Booger Boy, though he was filled with boogers and put them everywhere and probably had them all over his body, Booger Boy still needed love. And the best way to love anyone, whether they're gross, mean, is to bless them. The Lord says in the Bible to bless those who curse you. And an act of kindness to someone will change your heart. It will change the way they view you, the way they understand you. And Proverbs 25 says that serving your enemy is like heaping burning hot coals upon their forehead. So even if it doesn't change them, you can view it like that. Like you're taking your enemies and you're, with kindness, you're burning their heads and ears with coals. And that's not the best way to view it, but if push comes to shove, you may have to view it that way. So finally, I want to leave you guys with a quote from a band called The Brilliance. Do you guys know Gungor, the band? They do the song, "You make beautiful things. You make, yeah, beautiful things." So that's Gungor. And his brother is in a band called The Brilliance. And he wrote a song, it's called Brother. That's ironic. Wow, I didn't even realize that. But Gungor's brother wrote a song called Brother. And no, it's not.
What?
It says, in the song, he says, this is the like main line of the song, but he says, "When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother." And that's true.
That's mean. It's awesome.
Why is that mean? Wait, what?
He said it's mean.
Oh, because your brother is actually your enemy. But what he's saying is...
He said mean.
That's mean? Oh, okay. But no, it's not mean. What he's saying is, those who I can't get along with, those who are weird, crazy, strange, that I'm not used to, that I can't even talk to because they're crazy. When you look into those people who have wronged you or hurt you or hurt others around you, you see your brother and you see your sister.
He just called his brother his enemy.
Yes, he called his enemy his brother, and that his brother is deserving of love. And so that's the view that we should have with everyone, that they are our brother, they are our sister, that we should love them unconditionally and constantly strive to show them that love. Let's pray, and then we'll have to hang out here for just a few minutes. They should be out soon, and we'll close. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for your love that transforms us, changes our life from the inside out. We are excited to get to know you more, Lord, and to understand you, and to get to love you in different ways and to get to love others around us in different ways. We pray that you would give us your eyes to love those around us and give us your heart to care for those around us. We love you so much, Father, and we ask that that love will grow. We never want it to stop growing. Let it grow for the rest of our lives. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for having spoken to us this morning. Go before us, we pray, this week. Be with us at school and with our family, our siblings, our parents, our friends, and be glorified in all of our interactions. We pray all of this in your name. All God's people said, amen. All right, the parents or the adult service.